Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour of Felger and Maserati, brought to you by DraftKings. It's an agenda-free Friday, which is brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Your phone's on everything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to. A lot on the schedule from last night. I have a 4-point plan to get the Patriots to 10-6 if you want to hear it again.
Chris got to avoid it.
Don't everyone speak up at once.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was zoning out.
No, it's all right. Maz and Murray, any fresh thoughts for the people of Boston before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, just quickly, in regard to the schedule, looking at it again, I hate an early bye, not to sound like, yeah.
So
like
do I.
An early bye, but I think week six is really, really early. Typically, I feel like you want it week eight or later. I don't really see any good in that. Maybe to make a case for it that is good to get it early is you'll have such young players at such important positions, like I think it's going to be Jarrett Stidham starting at quarterback, that if there's something wrong, maybe you have that time early to take that week off and fix it, or maybe Stidham coming out of it and get him right and have Hoyer go for a week or two. But otherwise, I hate the early bye. And then just looking at it late, you know, from week 11 to 15, you know, they're all on the road basically except for that week 12 game against Arizona. I'm not with you on this, Mike. I'm with Maz. I just think overall it's a brutal schedule. We knew that going into it, but how they slotted it, it was even worse than I thought.
Oh, they got porked, I think. Again, that stretch in the middle. One steady diet of pork. Pork tenderloin, pork wontons, pork dumplings, pork sausages, pork, pork, pork. They got porked all over the place, if you ask me, other than week one.
I don't think it's that bad. But anyway, we discuss with you, John and Taunton. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, John.
Yeah, so you guys kind of already talked about this, about, you know, so the Patriots lost the greatest quarterback of all time. So are we really expecting that much from this team next year as far as Belichick, how he's going to be judged? I mean, it took both of them to be great. If Brady was in Buffalo for 20 years and Belichick had one stiff after the other, would we even think that either one of them was great?
Okay, John, but if Bill goes 4-12 and botches the quarterback transition, you don't think that we should judge him for that?
Well, I mean, are we talking about Hoyer starting?
We're talking about 4-12 and you have no quarterback. I think that's, to me, that's worthy of judgment. And if that's what it looks like, and to me, this is what constitutes success or failure, that they have to have a competitive year and they don't have to go get a quarterback next year. To me, I would hate to see them have to trade up to get one of these quarterbacks in the top five or top 10 after a bad year. I'd hate to see them have to devote big free agent dollars or, you know, big chips on a trade or something because they didn't have a quarterback this year and they sucked. So, no, I mean, look, no one should rip Belichick if they come short of the Super Bowl. Like, that's silly. But if they completely fall on their face and he has no quarterback, oh, no, he deserves criticism. You bet he does.
So, Mike, that scenario you just painted, right? That to me, 4-12 and they have to go back in the draft is, you know, for them, a disaster.
Disaster.
You understand, though, that most of the fan base won't feel that way because of the quarterbacks coming out next year.
Okay, but Murray, again, to get one of those two guys, you're going to have the top two picks in the draft.
If they're 4-12, you'll have a shot to do that.
Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, so all right, so let's make it a little more convenient then. 5-11, okay, and Stidham can't play. Disaster. Every bit the disaster. Because if they have to go back in and address the problem, I think if that happens, I think Belichick's job's on the line.
And I'm telling you, and we've talked about this before, I think if Bill really blows it, he's got 2 years. He's not, you know, it's not going to be one and done. I don't think, Mass. I think that.
No. I mean, on the line going into the next year.
Yes, I would agree with that. But we just learned that unless you have the number one pick, the guy you're talking about, Cincinnati wasn't going to trade Burrow for anything. Miami threw the kitchen sink at Cincinnati, and they weren't answering the phone because they had the guy. So unless you are the team with the number one pick, and we looked at this, the average win total for the number one pick team in the last decade is 1.9 wins. So if you get to 3 wins, you're out. And if Trevor Lawrence is Joe Burrow, Jacksonville or whoever's number one ain't going to trade with you because that's the guy. So I hate that scenario. To me, Stidham's got to be the guy, and they still have to compete in the interim. But they don't have to win the championship. They don't have to go to the Super Bowl. To me, my expectation is win the division. And then if you win the division, you have a home playoff game. I'd like to think you'd win it. And that's it. To me, that's the ceiling, and that's what constitutes a good year for me. Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I have a quick question about the bye week. And a quick comment. Please let me get my comment in. The question was about the bye week. Like you said, it was the second game. Everybody has the same bye. So if they lop off the first 2 weeks, does the bye week move? That's the question. The comment is, and I might be wrong, but the comment is, you guys were talking about boring games like 13-10, and it will be boring. But I'm thinking, why isn't Josh McDaniels brought in a conversation about coaching up Stidham? Like, I don't think we're going to do 13-10 games because our defense has lost so much, guys. So we're going to have to win a little bit more than 13-10 games, and it can't be boring.
I got you, Chris. I said it for effect. I don't find winning boring. You know, unless you're the Patriots and you're blowing teams out by 30. That's the way the Patriots have won the last couple of years, I'm sorry. Bored me. Boring. Non-competitive games. Any game that you're winning, if 13-10 wins, I'm sorry, are going to be interesting to me. And I don't care. I don't care what sort of points you put up. I don't need a lot of points or an aerial show to be entertained by NFL football. I think
no, me either. Yeah. Even though Brady acted like they lost it, that game that they won in Buffalo early last year, that was like one of the only likable games of the first 2 months.
You winning without Brady to me is interesting and compelling, and I will be, interested in it.
This is like, Gasper is talking about this a little bit, the style points. People aren't going to be satisfied with winning 17-14. Oh, bull crap. Forget the style points. The style points are gone. That era's over. You're going to have to go back to square one here and just start to grind out games a little bit. And that means running the ball, throwing sideways, short passes, playing well on special teams, and bend but don't break. I suspect we're going to see a lot of that. Hold teams to field goals, try to keep them out of the end zone, and see if you can win the game 23-20. And have a good kicker. Like, I think that's all. I think all of those little things are going to be in play.
And if you don't like it, shame on you. That sounds a little heavy-handed, I know. But not many teams can let go of the greatest quarterback in the history of the game and then keep winning in any way. So I would take it if I were you and not complain about 13-10, if that's even what it ends up being. Derek in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I just think you're putting too much faith in Bill Belichick. You know, the last game he coached without Tom Brady, they got shut out at home by the Bills. I mean, that's what these games are going to look like. 3 points, 6 points, 10 points. They just don't have the players on offense compete at a high level.
So, Derek, thanks for hanging on. I may be putting too much faith in Belichick. We'll find out.
I'm sorry. The Bills thing, the Bills game is not a fair representation either because they were down to their third quarterback, a kid that they had just drafted for crying out loud in the third round. So, Stidham is going to be better than Jacoby Brissett was against the Bills at that stage of the year. He just is.
I hope so. But
and if he's not, they're in big trouble.
Again, putting too much faith in Bill, entirely fair. I might be. Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so it's successful season is if they have a season. I just watch football. I don't care if they go 3-13.
Oh, I do.
I just want to be able to watch NFL football every weekend without, interruptions because somebody got the virus or whatever. So, to that end, you should let's see what Stidham's got. Let's go.
Okay. Call Bill. Tell him. I think he's considering starting Hoyer to start the year. Are you going to care if there's no fans in the stands? You watch these games?
Yeah, but I'll get used to it.
Like, to me, it's almost a non-factor. Like, I'm going to forget about it real quick, I think.
Football without fans is brutal.
No matter what it is, it's going to be weird at first. But the bottom line is this. I come back to what we've been talking about, which is a I'll take what I can get at this stage. I'm not being that picky. I want to see games that mean something on TV again, regardless of what the sport is. And so if that means no fans in the stands, I'll take it.
I think the only sport that's going to make a difference is the NBA, where the fans and the home court advantage and that thing is just huge. But in every other sport, I bet I'm going to forget about it inside of 5 minutes. I know I am in baseball. When I watch these Korean games, it makes no – I mean – maybe it's because they're Korean, the Korean League, and I don't know who they are. But honestly, I think people forget how many empty stadiums you watch baseball games in to begin with. How many, you know, you see a home run hit or a foul ball down the right field line, and there's no one there. It happens all the time. I mean, I think it seems like it's going to be a big deal, but in the end, it won't be. John in Sudbury. Hi, John.
Hey, boys. Happy Friday.
You too.
I'm on team optimism for the season. I'm feeling we have a big injury on defense. Something like Stefan going down in second or third week. Also, you guys talking about the TV stuff. I think the NFL wins both ways. If we go 3-13, that was awesome viewing for most of the league watching the Patriots lose every week.
So, yeah, John, someone mentioned that before, that the reason the Patriots have 5 primetime games the most is because America wants to root against you and see you lose. And so they'll tune in to see Belichick get his face pushed in on national TV. To me, I don't think that's it. I think they're putting him there because they think the Pats are going to be good and Belichick's a draw and the Patriots winning without Tom Brady is a compelling story. That's why I think they're there. But maybe there's a side benefit for America watching you lose.
I mean, Bill's a draw. There's no two ways. And look, if you want to say it's a negative draw, that people do root against him, I think he's polarizing. There's no two ways about it. That makes him a draw.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts here on Schedule Day on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Oh, Schedule Day. Oh, Schedule Day. Where fans get to pick wins and losses.
I don't know what the f*** happened. I must have dropped you. Anyway, week 7. Here comes Jimmy G and the Niners to Gillette.
I bet Belichick loses on purpose to make him look good. You know how much he loves Jimmy G. He loves him more than his dog, Nike.
That dog was f***ing awesome at the draft. I love him.
Yeah, he picked great players.
Loss! Week 8 on the road in Buffalo against the Bills.
I ain't buying that Buffalo's ready to win the AFC East. They're still the Bills, and they're still f***ing losers.
But in Buffalo, with that defense, come on.
Fine, but they ain't losing to them at home. Loss!
Week 9, Monday nighter, on the road against the Jets.
Why do they gotta go on the road like this, back-to-back against divisional opponents? This is Goodell again. Goodell's f***ing us.
Yeah, but come on, it's still the Jets.
Win!
Week 10, at home, Sunday night for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Loss!
Week 11, at the Houston Texans.
I can't believe this stretch out of the bye, bro. This is like the Pats' personal pandemic.
Yeah, I think the medical experts call that the triple P.
Loss!
Week 12, back home against the Arizona Cardinals.
They're not losing to a team from Arizona in late November. They might suck without Brady, but they won't suck that bad. Win!
Look how they're screwing us weeks 13 through 15. 3 straight road games. L.A. Chargers, L.A. Rams on a stupid Thursday night, and then in Miami against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I see that stretch. It f***ing sucks, just like my wife. I gotta get out of this house, bro. Win! Loss! Loss, loss.
Finally, to wrap up the season, back home, week 16 and 17. Divisional matchups against the Bills and the Jets.
I told you, they're not losing both games to the f***ing Bills. And the Jets suck because they're the Jets. They'll always be the Jets. Loss and a win. And f*** 2020 the worst year ever.
Tremendous as usual. Again, you had him 7-9 there, fellas?
7-9.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah. I think it, you know, they get to 8-8, they'll be in the playoff picture. But I'm not holding my breath.
They're definitely going to be in the playoff picture. They're definitely going to be in the playoff picture. If they can get to, Gasper mentioned it before, week 16-17, bang, bang, home games, Buffalo and the Jets. If they can be, if they can just, you know, what, by that point, 7-7. If they're 7-7 there and win those last two games and you get that last playoff spot, I mean, I'm hoping they're 8-6. That they're 8-6 there at the end, and they win those last two, and there's your 10. And I happen to think it's on the table. But once again, I'm probably the contrarian on that one. Tom and Quincy, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, we talked before how I was looking forward to them riding Stidham, and I'm hoping that's the way they go. But I think one of the best things is going to be able to watch in the league this year is if Stidham does play and he plays well and they do win the division, because I think they are going to win the division because the AFC still blows. But what's going to happen when you have the rest of the division with number one draft picks and at the quarterback spot, Brady's gone. They're like, oh, finally. And all you hear about is, oh, there's blood on the water. We're not trying to take the division. And he still wins
exactly.
The freaking division
exactly.
With the kid from the fourth round. So I'm curious to see what the rest of the league's going to be like. And like you guys were saying, where everyone wants to watch because they hate the Pats and they got five games because they want to watch them fail. You wait to see the rest of these fans across the country. If the Patriots are still winning on national stage and all these people are going to be like, what the hell do they have to do to not actually win the AFC East and go to the playoffs again?
Oh, right. The psychological advantage becomes even greater. Brady's gone and we still can't beat him. And that, you know, that's why I think a good start is really important, and racking up some of these division wins is really important. If you can rack up those division wins early, if you can walk into Buffalo and beat them on Sunday, November 1st, or beat the Jets on Monday night, you know, never mind that home opener, which you're probably expected to win, but those two road games there in November, you walk into Buffalo and still beat them, oh my God, they're talking to themselves, Mass.
Yeah, the early part of the year is huge because they got to build some momentum there. Because when they hit that middle stretch, again, they play six road games in 8 weeks, and prior to that, they actually play San Francisco, right? And that's a home game, but that's no picnic is the point. And so, because I said earlier that the two home games they played during that eight-week stretch were San Francisco and Baltimore, that's inaccurate. It's Baltimore and Arizona. San Francisco's just before that eight-week stretch. But even so, then they're going to need a little momentum and a little confidence going into that stretch. They have to play well early in the year, and they have to beat the teams that they have a chance to beat, the teams that are clearly not better than them if they want to you know, have a productive year.
We continue with your thoughts here. Trevor is in Vermont. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, guys. I think that Bill has a longer leash than you guys are saying, and I think that he has very little pressure on him because everybody thinks that it's a rebuilding year. And I think there's a lot more pressure on Brady and Gronk down in Tampa Bay. And the most of the pressure is on Bruce Arians. Like, if he doesn't win with these guys and this roster, then he's got like two years.
Trevor, so fine. Take Arians out of it. Who has more pressure on him, Brady or Belichick?
Brady.
I disagree.
Bill,
I disagree, Trevor. Brady would have stayed. Bill's the one that let him go. Don't you understand that if the Pats had just given him a real contract, you know, never mind this year and previous years, you know, the fact that Brady is a Buccaneer is on the Patriots. So this is Bill's decision, basically.
Yeah, and given Brady's age, too, at 42, if he were to go out there and suck, I think by and large people would look at him and be like, well, age was going to catch up with him eventually, right? You know, like, sure, we wished it ended better, but, you know, he's 42. What
for
the
sure.
Hell do you expect?
Absolutely, they'll say that. They'll also say, well, it wasn't his choice to go there. The Pats didn't want him. And so I think there's way more pressure on Bill.
Yeah, Brady's got a secondary excuse. I agree with that. If you know, and people have been waiting for the opportunity to say to Bill, let's see what it looks like without Brady.
Right.
And when you don't have the quarterback there to light up Seattle in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, or to win for you in Kansas City in the fourth quarter in OT by being perfect on third down, let's see what happens when it's someone other than Brady.
So, but
Bill will get destroyed if he doesn't succeed.
But believe me, I feel the other thing applies that no one mentions. Let's see what it's like, Tom, playing for a coach who bungles his timeouts. And let's see what it's like playing for a coach who gives players Mondays off starting in October. And, you know, it's a little too loose. Let's see what happens when you go to a place where, you know, winning's not the most important thing or the culture's a little lax. Let's just see. Let's see how you do when, you know, your coach win, lose, we booze, as opposed to trying to get better week to week. Let's see what that looks like, Tommy. You know, like, but no one's going to say that. But I think it applies to a degree as well.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, if you're going to be fair, it totally does. But the focus here, obviously, and I think even nationally, will be on Bill.
So here's a story we have not hit on, but it's agenda free. Brian in Pittsburgh on an NHL suspension. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Hey, I think it's a complete embarrassment for the Washington Capitals. Terminated the contract of Brandon Lepsic today. You know, kind of stupid thing he did, but to be fired from Holland Tanner Pearson's like that, that's ridiculous.
So your phone blows. I'd ask you what, Murray, do you know exactly what happened here?
I really don't. I don't know what this story is because one of my friends actually texted me about it like a half hour ago. And apparently it's something to do with a text chain with friends and someone screen capped something that he said in his text chain about women, and he has since apologized for it, but they cut him. They let him go.
Okay, so he must blow. And I'm not super familiar with the player. You know, maybe I should be, but
he's a depth guy. It's not like Ovechkin did this.
I'm just not familiar with the story.
I mean, he's played 187 games. He's got 16 goals.
Okay, and he was on a private chat or a private text chain?
Instagram thing, I think.
So, but it wasn't public. It was just among...
Someone screen capped it and put it up on their Instagram page.
Okay, but I don't get it. It's because I don't know how Instagram works. It's not like a text chain. It's like open to everybody.
It's just a photo. I mean, it's a photo thing. So someone screen capped the what was it looked from what I'm reading here quickly. It was a private conversation, and he said something, and you know, and then the people saw it all over Instagram, and it became a thing.
Okay, he didn't post on Instagram. It was he literally said it in a text.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, man. I don't even text. I don't even, you can't, and I'm not defending what I don't even know what he said to defend it or rip it. I have no idea what he said or did.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what he said. I have it in front of me. He said that his friend's Instagram was hacked and an individual circulated images that are representative of private conversations I was a part of. So he didn't dispute the comments. He just said that it was a private session that someone hacked an account and got access to and then put those comments out there.
And he called another player's wife fat? Is that what you said?
That I don't know.
Is that what Murray said?
I didn't say it. I don't know.
So the statement says misogynistic and reprehensible remarks.
Okay. I you know what? It's the first I'm hearing of it. Please. It's too late in the week. I'm not. I don't care. I just don't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If the start of the season is delayed, the early weeks could occur after week 17. In other words, week 1 would go to week 18, week 2 to 19, 3 to 20, and so on and so forth. The Super Bowl, I think, Super Bowl 55 holds the key to everything. Now, I want to be very clear. There are no discussions, no active discussions to push that off. I even spoke to the head of the Super Bowl committee today who said it's not even an option right now. The plan is to have the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 7th. The league is proceeding as if it's business as usual. But there are people around the league who believe that that would be the key, that the league could fold that Super Bowl back, push it back, and then take the early part of the season, if any of it has to be missed, and move that back later. Again, hypotheticals, flexibility. The league is built that in wisely, but it's not proceeding as if that will be the plan. It's proceeding as if these games will occur, and that's what's going to happen at this point in time. And so, again, the schedule, it's business as usual, just like the offseason has been business as usual. We've seen free agency happen without the visits. We've seen the virtual offseason program begin without on-field work. We've seen the draft unfold virtually, and the schedule is ready to unfold in the regular season the way the league wants it to, knowing that it could have to pivot off it, but not thinking right now it will. But if it has to, Super Bowl 55 looms as the key date to watch.
And apparently Tampa, the city of Tampa, where the Super Bowl is able to move it back weeks and weeks and weeks. And as Bert Breer reported and others, it's actually a precondition of the bid. You have to be able to postpone the game and play it the next week or the week after or the week after. I don't know how long you have to keep the window open. I mean, I don't know what else you're doing with that stadium, but it also entails, you know, the convention space, the hotel, like the whole thing. But that's a precondition of the bid. You have to be able to move the Super Bowl back so Tampa's able to do it, and it all starts with that. If you had to guess, Maz, are they going to start on time?
No. And you know what? I'll tell you, just listening to that again, and it didn't strike me this way earlier, so maybe it's just because it's Friday, it's late in the week, and I'm getting agitated, okay? But, like, listening to Schefter's report, no, they're operating as if everything will start on time. No, they're not. The fact that they're thinking about all this tells me that it's different. So the point being, do they go into every season and say, well, you know, let's build the schedule so that if we have to chop off the first 4 weeks, we'll just tack them on the end? Now, look, the flexibility of the Super Bowl, fine. I accept the fact that there's got to be flexibility there, and whoever bids on the Super Bowl always has to allow for the fact that in the event of something, you know, we're playing the biggest game in sports. We're playing that. But I feel like Schefter's selling me there a little bit, like, no, the NFL's going on business as usual. And I just feel like the tone of it is a little too much, as opposed to saying, look, right now they're planning for the season to start on time, but they are also preparing for the potential reality that they won't be able to do that, and they're going to tack on games at the end of the year, as opposed to,
well, so he's taking
roaring, you know, full steam ahead.
He's taking his cues from the owners, who don't want to acknowledge that there's even a pandemic out there where there might be a change of plans on the schedule, which is weird. Like, why are they so adamant to not even acknowledge the obvious condition of the world right now?
Because ignorance is the American way. And at this point, now a few months in, you know, hearing that, I'm good with it. Lie to me. And we'll cross that bridge when we come to it if we can't have those games. Right now, I want to pretend that everything's going to be going, on schedule. Kickoff is in September after Labor Day, and good times will be had. Lie to me. I don't care. I don't want to hear about, well, taking the cautious approach right now. We'll have to see. Nope, I've had it.
I mean, I call bull crap because I think it's just a little too much of a sell job. And that's all, Murray. Again, I want them to play too. But I maybe it's that simple, Mike. Maybe the owners are looking at it saying, oh, no, we are not even introducing the possibility for government officials or public health officials to put the cork in it and stop us and delay us. So we're going to give every indication here that the slightest opening to be able to go back and play games, we're going. And maybe that's what it is.
Well, and again, which is not true, because they've spread out the schedule in a certain way that is accounting for the possibility of pushing games back to the end of the year. Every team starts out home, road, or road, home, road, home. There's no trips in the first 4 weeks for anybody. You alternate home, road. So you lop off two at a time, and you have an even number of home, road games in the eventuality that those games aren't replayed. Every single team has a non-division slate in weeks 3 and 4. You're not losing division games in weeks 3 and 4. So if they have to go to 14 games, those are the two that'll go for every single team. I mean, there are subtle little things. We mentioned before, they spread out like these marquee games. Usually they load up the marquee games into November because that's a network sweep month, and that's the most important month for the networks. Well, here you've got, for example, the current week one, it's Houston, Kansas City. That's the marquee season opening game. But in week 3, you have Kansas City, Baltimore. That becomes the new season opener if they have to lop off the first 2 weeks. And there's a bunch of little examples like that throughout the schedule that they are accounting for the possibility of pushing back some games.
Totally. This is like, you know, no, we're not worried. The storm's going to miss. Meanwhile, they're taking the patio furniture and taping the windows. Really, that's what it's sort of. So can you just acknowledge the reality of it? Just feels like a sell job.
Okay, more of your calls. 617-779-0985. Two open lines if you want to grab them and participate in a little mini lightning round here. Go ahead, Jack. Jack in Hyannis. Hi.
Hey, Felger, first of all, I agree with you. I have us at 10-6.
There you go.
Even there's I see a possibility of 11-5. But let me tell you something. If it goes south for them, I don't want to hear about any moral victories.
Agreed.
I don't want to hear about, well, the highlight, the Super Bowl for us was beating the Ravens. No. I grew up, and as you can remember, the days with the bags on their heads at Foxborough Stadium and 2-12 or whatever the number was. I don't want to live that again. I will not go back there. We'll either win or we lose. No moral victories.
No moral victories, meaning they have to contend. Which they don't have to contend for a championship, but they've got to be a decent team that has a chance to play in the postseason or play in the postseason. And I'm not going to accept just throwing away a year. So that to me, I do not accept that. I would not accept moral victories either. Maz, when he said 11-5, you were shaking your head in disgust.
It's just like, why stop there? Why not 12-4? Oh, keep going. I mean, really? Yeah, 10-6, 11-5, maybe even 12. Come on. Again, this is where let's not get stupid about it either. And I'm not trying to insult the caller. I'm just saying let's be realistic, okay? They have a young team now, or at least certainly young in places, largely unproven based on the last three drafts in the critical spots. They have a quarterback who's never started an NFL game. His backup's a bum. They've overhauled some people on defense, and they've had all kinds of turnover on the coaching staff in the last couple of years. And their schedule's brutal. Brutal. Just be happy if it's a competitive year. Happy with that and start there.
Dan and Kingston, what do you got?
Hey, man, I just want to say I think it's a good time for the bye, even though it's early, because, Hoyer can go 3-2 early, keep them afloat, and then sit them step in after the bye. All roads lead to Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Taking out that last piece, I wondered about that, too. That is 5 weeks in. And you want to put some training wheels on Jared Stidham and let Hoyer start the year and take his lumps and then let Hoyer and let Stidham come in then at week six. That's sort of perfect timing for that. The problem is the schedule gets really hard starting with your sixth game, and that's not exactly putting Jared Stidham in the position to succeed if he's opening up against San Francisco and then going on the road Buffalo Jets and then playing Baltimore and then on the road Houston. Like, that's a tough little stretch. And so I think that would, I'm into that sort of idea generically, but when you look at the schedule, I don't know if that's the best spot for Stidham. He almost is better starting off the year and getting that Miami game at home and the Vegas game at home and the Denver game at home.
Yeah, go
ahead, Murray.
I said it earlier. I thought that getting the bye that early, week six, was an additional kick in the crotch on how this thing was scheduled. We knew it was going to be a tough schedule anyway going into it. And the way it's all slotted, it's like, oh, geez, the later the better. And I guess, like the caller did, the only argument you can make for it is if, Stidham or whoever, maybe you say Hoyer, but I think it's Stidham. He's taking lumps early. All right, you take a break there for a week. You try to get it right. Maybe have Hoyer start out of the break against San Francisco. But other than that, I don't see any good in getting the bye in week six.
I mean, those 9 weeks after the bye are six on the road, and two of the three home games are San Francisco and Baltimore. And so that is, that stretch to me is going to be an absolute freaking firewalk.
Here's V in Taunton. Hi, V.
Hi. I have a question. I heard that Illinois may not allow sporting events till next year. Do you think with Chicago being in Illinois, will that screw up the whole rest of the league?
Yeah, I'm curious how the league's going to handle this. California, I mentioned this to you before. The officials in Santa Clara County said they don't see anything happening there until after Thanksgiving. And yet the NFL scheduled San Francisco week one in Santa Clara. Like, just neener, we're not listening. And I do wonder, if I have to predict, we're not going to have fans in any building this year. So anything that is played in an empty building until January 1 at the earliest is my prediction. But I do think there's a window to play these games. But what if there's some states that say, well, no gatherings over 50 people, which means you don't get a football game in an empty building because that's over 50 people, just the teams themselves. Yeah, they have to have some contingencies for that. And I do wonder what they are. Mike Florio floated last week could there be plans in place for some of these teams to play in different stadiums? Could, you know, San Francisco go to Denver, for example, you know, or do you just have, you know, you have a standby stadium in case your state is not allowing you to play? They should have something like that, because I don't want the whole league to grind to a halt and them not play if only two teams, you know, say two teams are prevented from playing in their stadium. You should have a contingency for those two teams.
Oh, for sure. Again, I mean, the possibilities for snags in this thing are endless. Like, you would hope that the teams would get some sort of special dispensation to be able to play in the empty stadium, right? Like, who knows?
Greg in New Jersey. Go, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon. I want to touch on something Maz mentioned a little bit ago. Everybody talks about Tom Brady gone. I think Dante Scarnecchia is as huge a loss as anything over the last few years. All the coaches have left. The infrastructure is, like, disappearing. I think his loss is going to be immense, especially with all these new linemen coming on board.
Okay, there's no new linemen coming on board. They're bringing back their entire offensive line that finished last year. So, no new – there's some rookies, you know, and some second-year players, but the line's intact. Look, I love and respect Dante Scarnecchia as much as anyone. It does get overplayed a little bit. I mean, he retired here in the interim, and you had a guy who's been fired like 14 different times named Dave Guglielmo, and you won a Super Bowl. So it's like, I think people overplay Scarnecchia just a little bit. You have won without him before, and he is still going to be around, apparently. He's not going to be working full-time, but apparently he's going to still be, you know, ducking his head in there from time to time to take a look at your offensive line. So that's that. I don't think it's the defining factor.
My bigger concern still is the talent. Like, again, if Isaiah Wynn can't stay healthy and can't stay on the field, or Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon play like they did last year, or heaven forbid that David Andrews has some sort of other, you know, incident, because when you have a life issue like that, I think everybody roots for a guy like that. But if any of that happens, like, I worry about the depth of talent on that offensive line.
Okay, thus concludes the call-in portion of the week. Coming up next is the final word. What do we have, Jimmy? Anything I can tease to the people?
It is a brand new Mad Mike Squeaky Maz combo on.
Hold on. Maz, what would it be on? What did we combo lose our minds at?
Or we bitched about something this week where we disagreed on something. I can't remember what it was.
Well, was it that, or did? How about Bert's phone?
It's not Bert's phone.
It might be that.
Oh, too bad. I'll think about it. We'll see what we got. That's what's coming up next in the final word.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody. As I mentioned, we have a new piece of production put together by Rob Hardy Poole. It's a Mad Mike Squeaky Maz combo.
I can't think of what it is. Could you, Maz?
We argued about something earlier in the week. I don't remember what it was. It was one of the first couple of days.
Well, I've been told it's new, and it says Brady to Tampa.
So I have no idea what this
is. It's Jeter's house, and I'm sure it's a fancy house, but it's still stuck in Florida. AstroTurf strip of land next to my Mick Mansion in Tampa. Freaking Tampa.
That house is wedged in there, man. There's no two ways about it.
So there's another thing he posted. He posted a picture of he and his kids on the jet ski. Maz has a problem with that.
Yeah, it's like, screw you. Like, so what's he doing? Just letting the world know that I'm living the life of Riley while you 30 million Americans are unemployed? I thought he looked like a complete tool bag. I thought, like, oh, yeah, great. Let me show you how great my life is while everyone else in America is suffering. I just thought it was kind of a dick move.
You ever have to take your kids out on the jet ski mask?
No.
Oh, it's freaking painful. It's free. Slow down. Go speed up, speed up. Slow down. Speed up. Slow down.
This is a rotten contraption. First of all, it heats up like a toaster oven.
Your freaking arse is banging up and down. It's really not that fun.
Secondly, it's very, very noisy.
If you got kids, oh my God, let me drive. Shut up.
Thirdly, pardon the expression, but your balls vibrate for 3 weeks afterwards.
It's not that much fun.
Oh, God. I hate the whole thing. Tampa Bay. It blows.
But you know what's not going to do there this weekend? Snow.
I mean, I'll take the McMansion, I guess.
Right. Give me the house. The rest you can keep. Jet skiing with your kids. It does. It does a number on your nards, Maz, like you read about.
Let me just tell you that I already have I got my Garoppolo jersey and helmet. You might just see me this weekend doing the little Brady training drill in my backyard. We'll see. Maybe I'll put that video up on Twitter.
See if you can stay square to the bars, unlike Brady, who cheated on that drill.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.